yes, the conspiracy theorists were right again. The Global Covenant of Mayors is what we'll be talking about today. This is a huge alliance of cities that are aligned with the Smart City Agenda 2030 goals, United Nations Sustainable Development, whatever label you want to put on it. This is about locking the planet up into 15-minute digital prisons, or as we've said before in New Zealand, 5-minute digital prisons. I mean, who even knows how much more they will go to restrict every single aspect of your life. So today we'll be looking at the Global Covenant of Mayors. We'll have a look at some of the cities and the countries that are signed up to this. And some people may be quite surprised to know that most have pledged their allegiance all the way back in 2015. We have a look at their website, the Global Covenant of Mayors for Climate and Energy. It says they are the largest global alliance for city climate leadership across the globe. When you go to learn more about us, it takes you to the Who We Are page, and they say they are the largest global alliance for city climate leadership. This is a powerful and historic response to climate change from cities around the world. They have over 10,000 cities and local governments already committed. These hail from 6 continents and 138 countries. In total, they represent more than 800 million people. It sounds roughly like what they want to reduce the world's population to. Anyway, by 2030, they say that these could account for 2.3 billion tons of CO2 annual emissions reduction, matching yearly passenger road emissions from the US, China, France, Mexico, and Russia and Argentina combined. So they say that they are heeding the call to act, working towards the goals of the Paris Climate Agreement, which really says nothing. If you've read it, I don't even encourage people to go and read. I mean, I want people to do their own research, but honestly, it says nothing. They keep saying that they are aligned to this Paris Climate Agreement, and it just says that they want to reduce emissions, but it doesn't say how they're going to do it. It doesn't say whether it's achievable. Absolutely nothing. So this is the Covenant, Global Covenant Mayors. This is the mayors, and this is what I spoke about some time ago. I mean, I've been talking about it forever. The one world government model is that they'll have the big fish at the top telling you how the world needs to run. They'll be calling the shots, and the mayors at the local level managing the smart cities are going to be the ones implementing the insane restrictions. All of this systematic destruction of middle government. You know, when people say that the rats are leaving the sinking ship because they keep resigning from their positions, that is intended. It's not that they're scared, that they're avoiding accountability. Yes, that's part of it, but not really. I mean, yes, the part that they want to distract you, and while you're scrambling to hold people accountable, this one's gone, that one's gone. We haven't forgotten their names, by the way. Brett Sutton, Jacinda Ardern, all of the others that have resigned in recent times, Boris Johnson, we haven't forgotten them. But it's more than just avoiding accountability. It really is, you know, the ridiculousness of how these people have behaved and how much people hate them is to build, to increase the lack of public trust, because eventually things will get so bad that the people will just call for one leader that just has all the answers, usher in the Antichrist. Anyway, this is the key to how they will be managing, or how they want to manage if they're successful. I recently heard someone say, oh, Maria says this is what they're going to do. She's giving airtime to their plans and making it out as though it's already happened. No, I'm explaining how things will look if we don't stop it, which most viewers know, but I thought it was worthwhile addressing. So their view and their vision really is one world government at the top. No one deals with them because the mayors are the gatekeepers, and they're already, they control their little cities. And that's already evident in New York, where they're talking about banning meat, banning gas stoves, banning gas cooking. You know, we've been speaking as well in Australia in recent times. Their councils are banning for the land developers, they're banning gas in new buildings. Everything has to be electric. Meanwhile, we're shutting down coal power plants and we don't have the renewable energies to sustain this, but let's go ahead and do it anyway. And of course, this is all a systematic plan to produce our water, our energy, and every single resource that we have to live freely, essentially, and really depend on the state to provide for our needs. This is what they want. But we'll keep going with the Global Covenant of Mayors. So they list their regions, and I'll quickly show everyone what their regions are. We've got South Asia, Eastern Europe and Central Asia, Oceania, Latin America and the Caribbean, East Asia, European Union and Western Europe, Middle East and North Africa, Sub-Saharan Africa, Southeast Asia and North America. Do you notice that there are 10 regions here? For those that are looking at things from a biblical lens, what is this 10 regions? What is G10? What is the 10 regions of the climate? What is the prophecy that they will worship the creation rather than the creator, and one will rise out of the 10 horns? They've split the world into the 10 regions in preparation for the Antichrist to rise from one of those 10. And I think a lot of people are starting to realize how much of what is going on is correlating with biblical prophecy. It's astounding. I'm going to spend a little bit of time on this because I want to show everyone the cities that have already pledged. For example, I'll pull Australia up first because I'm in Australia. You have 34 cities already pledged. Australian Capital Territory, Hobart, Wollongong, Sydney, Perth, Joondalup, Mornington Peninsula Shire, Glen Eira City Council, Moreland, Melbourne, Manningham, Melville, Tweed Shire, Port Phillip, Yarra City Council, Hobsons Bay City Council, Maribyrnong City Council, Mandurah, Mount Barker District, Byron Shire, Adelaide City Council, Perth, City of Melton, Darebin City Council, Wyndham City Council, Newcastle, West Torrens, Blacktown Council, Unley City, Bellingen Shire. We'll keep going. Greater City of Bendigo, Sutherland Shire, Campbelltown and Brighton. If you just look at Sydney, for example, it shows you that they pledged in 2015. I'll just move that across so that everyone can see it. 2015, they pledged or committed, and it tells you the region. They're part of the Oceania region, and it gives you the badges that they've achieved. So they've completed 6 phases out of 9, according to this. They have an emissions inventory. They talk about whether they're going to meet their goals, the time scale for those goals. As you can see, there's extreme hot days, heat wave, flash, surface flood, lightning, thunderstorm. So it's all to do with the climate, claiming that apparently because of climate change, we've got all of these insane weather events. It's got nothing to do with the geoengineering. It's got nothing to do with the fact that they're messing with the climate every single day. And as per the last interview I just did earlier this week on Uncensored, if you missed that, I really encourage everyone to go back and watch it, because what Nikki and the other lady told us about was that the geoengineering is essential for the Internet of Things to function. It's not just about destroying the planet and creating this false narrative of climate change. It's a multi-pronged attack. And the Internet of Things interacting with the satellites in the atmosphere will not in space, in the atmosphere, will not work without geoengineering, which I found fascinating. And I'll look into that some more. But anyway, the short-term goals, all the dates here are listed as 2025, and this is for Australia. I want to go through the United States as well for the US viewers so that you can see which cities are already pledged to this. And anyone can check this on the Our Cities page. You just select the country that you want. I'm going to type in United States. And it tells you every single city that is aligned to this. So this is the North America region. I'm not going to go through all of this because there's 182 results, but I'll just read a few here. Alameda, Aurora in Illinois, Belfast, Birmingham, Clarkson, Eau Claire, Flagstaff, La Crosse, Lancaster, Lexington, Medford, Miramar, New York, Park City, Salem, Santa Cruz, Santa Fe, St. Petersburg in Florida, by the way, Urbana, Washington, Wellfleet, Carmel, Los Angeles, Chicago, Miami-Dade County, Houston, Texas, King County, Philadelphia, Phoenix, San Diego, and you can go and look at 7 pages of these cities that have pledged to this on this website. I wanted to show everyone a section on their website. You've got a whole resource library, And I mean, you can spend days and days in these documents, and I suggest that anyone that wants to do more research does do that. But there's one here that says climate opportunity, more jobs, better health and livable cities. And they actually talk about retrofitting buildings and how important it is to retrofit buildings. So, you know, where people say, oh, well, they're not going to stop us from using gas. No, no, they absolutely are. And they're planning it. I'll show you in this report. This is page 6, where they talk about the wider benefits of 3 key climate actions for cities in 2030. First and foremost is building retrofits. And they say that they want to improve energy efficiency through building retrofit. They've got 3 regions listed here, which is the European Union, North America, and China. They obviously want to do enhanced bus networks, which will be driverless buses. We've already seen a lot of stuff in the media about driverless vehicles, driverless buses. They don't want you to have any private vehicle ownership. I mean, we exposed this in the ARUP Smart Cities report, where it actually says reduce private vehicle ownership to 0, meat consumption to 0, 3 new clothing items per year. So this is the kind of stuff that these maniacs want to do. And they're talking about an example out of London, which I'll show you now. Before we go to the London example, this is energy efficiency retrofit for residential buildings. They talk about the analysis of accelerated residential energy efficiency retrofits, defined as the implementation of measures to improve the thermal energy performance of urban residential building structures, so on and so forth. Energy consumption for spatial heating and cooling in urban residential buildings is projected to increase by approximately 50% by 2050. And this is the reason why we need to go and retrofit all these buildings. This is a quote from the City of Chicago Mayor Emanuel, and they think that this is going to help create all these jobs. Mind you, you know, they're quoting C40 here, which clearly states that they will be, you know, reducing energy consumption. What does reducing energy consumption actually mean? What does that mean? It means switching off your energy. You know, they're already doing that in South Africa. They've already war-gamed this in South Africa, where they've been doing 10-hour rolling blackouts throughout the day. We had an interview on that with Germ Warfare on Uncensored, where they've been doing scheduled 10-hour rolling blackouts in South Africa. And now, on top of that, the energy company, which, by the way, is just one now, and a similar thing is happening in the state of Victoria. I spoke about this, where Daniel Andrews, Dictator Dan, has said he's going to bring energy back to a state energy company. And everyone's saying, oh, that's great. You know, no more being financially raped by all these private companies overseas managing our energy. No, this is a way to control people even further. Because when you consolidate all the power, like they want to consolidate all the banks, turn it into just big 4 or big 3 or whatever it may be, consolidate the energy. The more you consolidate, the more these people have central power. So that's what they're doing in the state of Victoria, because it's already been practiced in South Africa quite successfully. And now they're talking about there, the head of this energy company in South Africa is talking about further reducing people's energy by limiting their household appliances, because if you have a smart appliance at home, they can do that remotely. It's absolutely criminal. It is absolutely criminal, but we'll keep going with this. So here we have London, and it says that emissions from buildings account for 77% of London's total emissions. Retrofitting the built environment across the city is an essential strategy, given that at least 80% of London's existing buildings will be standing by 2050. So again, they're talking about the benefits of retrofitting these buildings and household savings and energy savings. Well, yeah, it will be household savings when you go and shove all these people into smart cities, into communal living buildings. And we've spoken about this as well, how in Australia now, but people overseas may not be aware, because of the cost of living crisis, because families can't get accommodation, they're boasting about how now, well, not boasting, but they're reporting on the mainstream about how families are having to get together with other families under one roof. And the head of the Reserve Bank came out and said, oh, well, if you're struggling with the cost of living prices, just start renting with your friends or renting with other people. So they're conditioning people to this communal living that they want to achieve in the smart cities, you know, driving prices up on purpose to make it unaffordable to have your own place, and meanwhile going and retrofitting all these buildings so that You eventually end up in a communal living block. You share bathrooms. And again, this is what the transgender agenda is about, getting you used to being dehumanized. No gender, genderless bathrooms, because that's what will be in these communal living spaces where you share a kitchen, share a lounge room, and share everything else with everyone else. And I'll bring up the article from Ida Organ afterwards as well, where she says, it is 2030, I have no privacy and life has never been better. And she actually outlines this communal living in that article. But we'll keep going with this. It says, the mayor is committed to making London a zero carbon city by 2050. This is the deputy mayor for environment and energy. And you can see that in all of these cities, for example, Toronto, Mike Layton, Toronto City Councillor. So these mayors and these councils, sorry, I really should have brought that up on the screen. I'll just show everyone. That's Mike Layton, Toronto City Councillor. These mayors and these councils know exactly what they're doing. When in the mainstream media recently in Australia, we had a report on Coffs Harbour City Council and all these people attending and saying, well, we're against this. We don't want this. What are you doing? Why are you, planning these 15-minute cities? And one of the representatives comes on and says, oh, I just don't know why. It's very surprising why people are opposed to this. We're just trying to make things more, resilient. And because we know, because we're on to you. And all of these mayors have pledged to this nonsense, reducing emissions. We've even got Ireland culling 200,000 cows in the name of reducing emissions. I mean, this is insanity. Where are all the animal rights activists right now? Where are you? Where are you talking about? Hang on a minute. We did this for the good of the planet, and now you're slaughtering animals en masse by the hundreds of thousands? What's going on here? Not a peep from them. It's unbelievable. The point is, the people are onto this. The people have woken up to the agendas of the New World Order, and it's really great to see. It's really great to see that people are so sharp on this. I can't remember, recently I posted something in Telegram and someone said, we already know this. This is old news. And I thought, well, whilst I was reporting another angle of it, I thought, I'm glad. I'm glad that this is old news to you. I'm glad that you are aware of just how sinister and how deep this goes and all of the control measures that they want to put in place. Now go and educate the masses. Now go and educate the people that you interact with on a daily basis. Because let me tell you, and I've told this story numerous times recently, I had an interaction with a masked pharmacist recently. Muzzled. So naturally, this person is likely injected to the eyeballs. But when I spoke to this person about CBDCs and the banning of cash and how this will be used to control people under a social credit score system, this person was not happy. This is one thing that humanity can unite over. And I maintain that. I mean, it works. When I talk to people out there, it really works. Forget the injections, forget the mandates, forget all of that. Although that is a crucial part, and I acknowledge that, and we need to keep fighting that battle. But I'm saying when it comes to interacting with normal people that don't know the agenda, CBDCs, smart cities, and social credit scores really do freak people out, and the mass surveillance. We'll keep going. They even go on to admit here that South Africa, the municipalities of this area and this area, have been designated as model intermediary cities. So this is the model, the 10-hour rolling blackouts, the stuff that Jeremy warned us about. This is their model. This is what they want to do. So we'll go and retrofit all your buildings. We'll push everyone into these communal living spaces, and then we'll limit their energy because renewables are not enough to sustain the people. My goodness. And again, they talk about reduced air pollution. What are we doing about China? What have we been doing about China and their air pollution? Oh, nothing. That's okay. They're aligned to the WEF. We want them to be the world's superpower and lock people in burning buildings and burn them to death. These people are insane. And of course, they want to reduce the expenditure on fuel and electricity. I don't know how you're going to do that unless you limit the electricity. Because when you remove gas, which is cheap and available, and you shut down all the coal power plants, there isn't much electricity to pay for, I suppose. And you want to depend on solar while you're blocking out the sun. they say they're going to increase the number of jobs. And better to navigate in more accommodating spaces. Yes. Well, that's... It is more accommodating, isn't it, when you have everyone living in communal blocks. Like the dystopian movies we've seen in the past, like In Time and movies like this. This is really their vision. It's absurd. Residential building retrofit. So, again, I think that's enough on retrofit. As you can see, this is really something that they say they need to accelerate. I think you'll see a lot more of this in the media about retrofitting. We're already talking about it in Australia. There's conversations happening. So retrofitting, removing all the gas, the United States wants to do the same. It's going to be worldwide. Every country, every city that's listed on here is going to have this occurring. This is an African report on a guide to collaborative multi-level governance for climate resilience development. I want to take you to page 26 of this report because on that page, it actually says and specifies that this is going to be councils or at a local city level that they're managing this. So it says, why do the nationally determined contributions, NDCs, matter for sub-national governments, sub-national? National commitments to United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change processes trickle down to the local level via national legislation or policies. Subnational governments, is what they're calling this, are responsible for fulfilling these service delivery and sector-based mandates on a daily basis. This is your councils. This is your mayors. This is what they're doing. Subnational governments are led by national strategies and oversight but carry the mandate. Again, to serve their communities and deliver services. Subnational governments sit at the coalface as the primary implementers of localized actions. So when you're going to council meetings and they're saying, oh, we don't know what you're talking about, we're very surprised. Yes, they do know what you're talking about because they've agreed to this. It's on this website. They're part of the Global Covenant of Mayors. Sounds very cult-like if you ask me. Lying scum. And of course there are staff within the councils that don't know. I'm not saying they're all in on it. But the ones that have agreed to this know exactly what they're doing. And if they don't understand the extent of what they've agreed to, well, they better start. And it's up to the people to educate them and demand answers. It goes on to say that cities own and are responsible for many of the services and assets that do or can contribute to successful delivery of domestic mitigation and adaptation targets, and which can often already be in line with international climate commitments or sustainable development goals. Subnational governments thus have a critical role to play in enabling national sustainable development prerogatives, and city authorities are a key group of actors critical for, I'll bring up the other page for you all, critical for the implementation of nationally determined contributions, NDC-related activities. If decisions are being made at the local level that do not align with the overarching national climate change policy framework, then subnational governments' authorities are effectively failing in their duties to advance a transition to a climate-resilient future at the local level. It also says that they play an active role in the monitoring and reporting processes on international climate negotiation processes. Which means, like we exposed in the Smart Cities report where we went through the ARUP report where the councils will be managing your meat consumption, your clothing purchases, your travel. If they don't, they're not meeting their roles. So they're not meeting the requirements of their role, so they'll just be replaced with someone who does. And, again, as it says here, they are required to monitor and report, which means it is well within their interests, if they want to keep their job, to set up the surveillance within their cities necessary to monitor and report on their citizens. And this infrastructure is being built worldwide. If you live in a major city, you know the surveillance is on steroids right now. Cameras everywhere. It's happening everywhere. And I guarantee you, if you go to this to the Our Cities page and you find your city on here, they will be part of the people that are setting up this huge surveillance grid. Again, if you go to the Our Cities page, select your country, you can see them all there. Select your country, have a look at your city, and see whether this is on the list. I've just clicked Canada here for the viewers. Toronto, Montreal, Edmonton, Ottawa, Durham, Vancouver, Hamilton, Surrey, London on, Halifax. Have a look at these cities and see whether your city has increased its surveillance. And it is because of this, because the mayors are required to report on their citizens and monitor their citizens. I mean, if the world doesn't wake up to this, if the world doesn't wake up to how this new world order is actually going to function and how much it's going to imprison them, I really don't know how the people will overcome this when it happens. I mean, I foresee, and I don't want this, but if they push this, I foresee riots in these ghettos that they create. Low energy, low quality food, malnourished people, tiny little pods. Everything's nano-coded. What are you going to live through your goggles because life outside is so miserable? It's literally a carbon copy of all the dystopian movies we've seen in the past where people are imprisoned and monitored, like The Hunger Games, like In Time, like all of these movies where you see these ghettos. This is what they're trying to create, genuinely. And that linked with your social credit score and CBDCs and everything being digital. You know, people say, oh, we just won't comply. They have these plans, but we just won't comply. I bet you, many of you will. And I don't say that to offend those that won't. But if you're someone that won't, you won't be offended by that. It'll grow your resilience to it. Because the reality is, when people's jobs were affected, many went and got the injections against their best judgment. And I spoke about this when I experienced being debanked for speaking out, we think. And I said, you know, this is not about me. And it's not. Everything I do is not about me. It's about humanity as a whole. It's not about me. This is a warning to people. Once CBDCs are in place, will you comply? Because how many of you complied with the shots? Or will you now, because you know the agenda and you know what the end goal is, will you say, well, I was fooled once, I won't be fooled again? I said to people at the very start of all of this, you have to decide how far you'll go to stand your ground. Will you eat rocks and grass and fight back? Or will you eventually cave? Many people caved. I had people sending me DMs at the time of the lockdowns and the mandates saying, I'm so ashamed of myself, but I caved because I need to work. And I understand that that's a challenging position to be in. I really do. I really do, especially if you're someone that doesn't have savings or hasn't planned for this, which is why I talk about preparation so much, because we know what's coming. We know the magnitude of what is coming if we don't stop these maniacs. And so I understand, but the point is people who felt so strongly about this folded. Make sure you're not one of them. Do what you can to not be one of these people from now. Don't ever cave to this. And I know that there will be parallel economies set up. I know that there will be people outside of this grid. How long they'll allow us to operate outside of it, I don't know. Eventually, everyone will be faced with the get the mark or die. I'm sorry to break it to you. That's the future. But we don't know when in the future that is. We don't know when in the future that is. I want to take everyone through this Ida Organ article very quickly. Because I think, and I keep coming back to this because I really think it paints a very, very interesting picture of what they want to achieve in the mindset of those who will be locked in this system. I've spoken about this many, many times before, but I want to go through the whole thing and again, I keep coming back to this because I think it is really a key insight into the way that these people think. This is Ida Auchin, WEF puppet, and this was published in Forbes in November of 2016. Welcome to 2030. I own nothing, have no privacy, and life has never been better. Welcome to the year 2030. Welcome to my city, or should I say our city. I don't own anything. I don't own a car. I don't own a house. I don't own any appliances or any clothes. It might seem odd to you, but it makes perfect sense for us in this city. Everything you considered a product has now become a service. We have access to transportation, accommodation, food, and all the things we need in our daily lives. One by one, all these things become free, so it ended up not making sense for us to own much. Sounds like communism. Do what we say, do what the state says, and we'll provide for your needs, except we'll determine your needs. This is the thing. It's not just we'll provide for all your needs. No, we're going to determine your needs, and we say you don't need nutritious food. You don't need reliable energy. You don't need private space. You don't need private bathrooms. And we'll give you what we say you need for free. First, communication became digitized and free to everyone. Then, when clean energy became free, things started to move quickly. Transportation dropped dramatically in price. It made no sense for us to own cars anymore because we could call a driverless vehicle or a flying car for longer journeys within minutes. We started transporting ourselves in a much more organized and coordinated way when public transport became easier, quicker, and more convenient than the car. Now I can hardly believe that we accepted congestion and traffic jams, not to mention the air pollution from combustion engines. What were we thinking? So, you know, the way that they paint this, it seems so positive when you think about it. Even the way that they've sold smart cities to everyone. No traffic jams. Everything's within walking distance or bike ride. You don't have to spend money on fuel. You are healthier because you're exercising more. Everyone's close by. Oh, but we forgot to leave out that you're not actually allowed to leave your district. And you're not actually allowed to spend too much time outdoors because natural encroachment on human encroachment on natural habitats actually causes climate change. So you can't go there. If you do, you'll be punished. Maybe even killed by a streetlight that we've implemented. They ignore and refuse to tell you the sinister part of this plan. Sometimes I use my bike when I go to see some of my friends, if they're in her district. I enjoy the exercise and the ride. It kind of gets the soul to come along on the journey. Some things never seem to lose their excitement. Walking, biking, cooking, drawing, and growing plants. It makes perfect sense and reminds us of how our culture emerged out of a close relationship with nature. Yet, they don't want you to be in a relationship with nature. It goes on to say, in our city, we don't pay rent because someone else is using our free space when we do not need it. My living room is used for business meetings when I'm not there. So that is, again, when they're telling people, oh, there's a cost of living crisis. So the solution is to share a rental property with people you don't know or family or friends. Right now they're saying family or friends, but very soon it'll be strangers. And encouraging families to live together. That's what that's about. They're conditioning you for this. Once in a while, I'll choose to cook for myself. It's easy. The necessary kitchen equipment is delivered at my door within minutes. Since transport became free, we stopped having all those things stuffed into our home. Why keep a pasta maker and a crepe cooker crammed into our cupboards? We can just order them when we need them. So if that is the case and you are saving on space and this, that, and the other, you can see why this would be something that is appealing to people. Like, it just gets delivered. It's just easy. And mind you, through the lockdowns, they condition people for this as well. Online deliveries, everything's online shopping, retail stores closing. You know, they have orchestrated the collapse of the face-to-face customer service or sales experience and then conditioned people to being used to getting things delivered online. And then eventually it'll be by drone. And then it's, well, you actually will own nothing of this. We'll just keep delivering it to you as you need it, which probably, you know, is a great dopamine hit. Like, I need this now. Oh, within minutes it's here. Great. You know, what a dopamine hit. Very interesting. The part that they forget to tell you is that you won't have a choice, and if you want to own something, you can't, and if you dare go against the grain, you'll be punished. Maybe your UBI will be affected. They say this also made the breakthrough of the circular economy easier. When products are turned into services, no one has an interest in things with a short lifespan. Everything is designed for durability, repairability, and recyclability. Great things, but what if I want to own something? No, you can't. The materials are flowing more quickly in our economy and can be transformed to new products pretty easily. So recycling. Environmental problems seem far away since we only use clean energy and clean production methods. Yes, because you have made sure that people don't have access to other forms of energy by shutting down reliable energy. And, you know, they say here, oh, well, you know, we have clean energy. Yeah, limited clean energy. And you're told when and when you can't use it. The air is clean, the water is clean. Nobody would dare to touch the protected areas of nature because they constitute such value to our well-being. Remember how I keep referring back to Australia's pandemic preparedness report, and I say to people, they have said that human encroachment on natural habitats is the reason for climate change. And the reason for pandemics. And the more you interact with nature, the more these pandemics are developing, and therefore you can't do it and you won't be allowed to do it because you're risking a pandemic by going out into nature. So they're saying here, we wouldn't dare touch the protected areas of nature because they constitute such value to our well-being. The protected areas just happen to be pretty much all of nature. This is what they want to do. They say, she goes on to say, I still do not understand why in the past we filled all free spots in the city with concrete. Shopping? I can't really remember what that is. Apologies. For most of us, it has been turned into choosing things to use. Sometimes I find this fun, and sometimes I just want the algorithm to do it for me. It knows my taste better than I do by now. Look at the dehumanization within this process. The complete loss of autonomy or, freedom of movement, freedom of thought. Oh, the AI just does it for me. I don't even think anymore for myself. I just obey and worship the state and worship the planet. And I'm in my little box and AI is telling me how to live. If I really want to decide how to cook, I can do it. But, you know, AI knows better. When AI and robots took over so much of our work, we suddenly had time to eat well. Yeah, with Bill Gates' fake meat. With fake food. Sleep well and spend time with other people. The concept of rush hour makes no sense anymore since the work that we do can be done at any time. I don't really know if I could call it work anymore. It's more like thinking time, creation time, and development time. This will really only apply to the people that are working within the system. You know, there is no work like we know it now. Unless you're working within the corporation. And by that, I mean the global corporation that has its tentacles everywhere. There's no free market in this world where you actually get to apply your creativity and your thoughts and your ideas, unless they align with the New World Order goals for sustainable development, which is, you know, everyone being poor and having not enough energy and not enough nutrition. Unless it aligns with that, you're not employed, you get a UBI. And that will be a majority of the population under their vision. For a while, everything was turned into entertainment and people did not want to bother themselves with difficult issues. It was only at the last minute that we found out how to use all these new technologies for better purposes than just killing time. So they're telling you that, you know, the fact that social media and all of this online media is being used for entertainment, there will be a time when that ends and we're going to actually evolve into beings that actually use AI for our benefit, because that's the natural evolution process, according to them. My biggest concern is all the people who do not live in our city. This is interesting. Those we lost on the way. Those who decided that it became too much, all this technology. Those who felt obsolete and useless when robots and AI took over a big part of our jobs. Those who get upset with the political system and turned against it. That is, the political system, by the way, is eradication of all judges, all lawyers, all politicians, and it's to be run by AI in the metaverse. This is what they're planning for Ukraine. They've already told us that Ukraine will be the first city that transitions to this model. First country to be cashless. They have already told us that in Ukraine 2030 or Ukraine 24, which is the official fundraising platform of Ukraine. You can go onto their website and have a look. We've exposed this as well on this broadcast and on Zero Time. They say that these people who got upset with the political system and turned against it live outside. They live different kind of lives outside of the city. Some have formed little self-supplying communities. Others just stayed in the empty and abandoned houses in small 19th century villages. Why are there empty and abandoned houses? Why are they there? What occurred for these houses to become empty and abandoned? Just think about that for a second. There has to be some sort of an event where there are empty and abandoned houses. People don't just abandon their houses to go live in communal living blocks by choice. Abandoned houses means not owned. It's not like all these investors own these properties outside and people can't live in them. No. These are abandoned. What is this vision that these people are seeing? These maniacs, where all of these homes become abandoned and then these little factions form outside of the communities because the invasion of privacy became too much. What event will cause that? Once in a while, I get annoyed about the fact that I have no real privacy. Oh, imagine that. Nowhere I can go and not be registered. I know that somewhere everything I do, I think and dream of is recorded. I just hope that nobody will use it against me. And this is the whole point, you know, these people that are for this and for this natural evolution of society where we have everything on the cloud and the human beings interacting with the Internet of Things, bodies, so on and so forth. They think, well, if you've got nothing to hide, if you're a compliant citizen and you're doing the right thing, why would you care that someone's monitoring your thoughts, so on and so forth? Because the ones wanting to do it don't have my best interest at heart. All in all, it's a good life. Much better than the path we were on, where it became so clear we would not continue with the same model of growth. We had all these terrible things happening. Lifestyle diseases, climate change, the refugee crisis, environmental degradation, completely congested cities, water pollution, air pollution, social unrest and unemployment. We have that because of you. You are spraying the skies. You are poisoning our water supply. You are poisoning the food supply. Look at how they blame the human beings for it. And the solution is that the state is going to give you these smart cities, no privacy, none of this, and provide for all your needs. Social unrest and unemployment. Yes, unemployment. And it will continue. Their solution will be the UBI. We lost way too many people before we realized that things that we could do differently. Who did they lose too many people to? What's that about? What people did they lose? What is that actually about? I'm setting up this other bit of news that I want to share with everyone as I'm talking to you, but who are these people that we lost? What? People that died during COVID? All these people that we lost, far too many people that we lost. What are they talking about? What event that led to all of these abandoned houses out there and all these people that are lost that didn't move to the smart cities? What happened to them? What do you mean we lost too many people? Is it a broader statement about, you know, the environmental damage and the way of not looking after Earth, created diseases and things like that? The diseases are created because of things like Codex Alimentarius that the United Nations and all members agreed to, if you go back to the 1960s, where they would systematically, progressively increase the toxins in our food and call them nutrients and call nutrients toxins and reduce the amount of nutrients in our food, systematically poisoning the population and making them weaker, more feeble-minded. This is how people get sick, because of the lack of natural life. This is why people are sick, not because we're causing climate change. You're causing climate change. And again, it all gets blamed on the human, and therefore they carry this fake guilt of this religion that this religion puts on them. You know, people criticize, say, for example, Christianity, and they say, oh, there's this guilt that's put on you. No, well, look at what they're doing. This death cult is putting guilt on the population, telling them that they can redeem themselves if they just go with the state. This is the new world religion, the one world religion. And sadly, many religious leaders from all religions are joining this under the virtue signaling cloak that this is somehow going to save humanity and this unity is possible. Meanwhile, all worshipping different gods, it's not possible. I'm doing a very, very interesting analysis on that very soon with Jay Dyer. That'll be up on zmedia.com. It'll be in a few weeks' time where we're reviewing a very interesting book on this very subject. I'll let everyone know once that's up. But I want to talk to everyone about this. Exclusive. U.S. government agencies hit in global cyber attack. This is CNN as of June 15th. This is something that we've been warning about for a very, very long time. They are saying that several U.S. federal government agencies have been hit in a global cyber attack by Russian cyber criminals that exploits a vulnerability in widely used software, according to a top U.S. cybersecurity agency. At the start of this year at Davos, they said what we would face over the next 2 years would be cybersecurity attacks, cyber attacks. This was going to be the main thing. Then they talked to us about cyber COVID 2 years ago, and they said this is going to be much faster, much worse than COVID. This is going to require a global shutdown to mitigate the damage of this global cyber attack. Cyber COVID, that they called it back then. We don't know what they'll call it now. So they're already preparing the population. They've been wargaming this constantly across countries, wargaming it in Australia, and they're preparing you for the fact that this is coming, a global, this is already, as several US government agencies, and again, they blamed it on Russian cyber criminals. I mean, I've been saying this for 3 years, that this is coming. Not just me, others also. We knew that they were going to do this. They tell you their plans before they do them, which is why I read that letter out, that Forbes article, the 2030 one. They tell you their plans before they do them. They're so predictable. And recently I had, you know, I've had a couple of comments I've noticed, you know, all this stuff that you've been saying for 3 years, it hasn't happened. Yeah, because it's still the plan. It's coming. They're about to do it. They're about to launch global cyber attacks. They told us they're going to do it. They said it at Davos. This is what's going to happen over the next 2 years. We've published an article about the fact that cyber COVID is going to be worse than COVID. It's going to be the worst pandemic ever. We have to switch off your power, switch off your communication, switch off everything to mitigate. And then you can't come back onto the grid without a digital vaccine. People, wake up. These people are insane. And the very things we've been warning about for 3 years are happening now. So am I the crazy Noah that's warning everyone, hey, a flood's coming, you better get on the ark? And all the people that are saying, you're fear-mongering. Okay, have a nice swim. I'll get on the ark. I'm in no way, shape, or form comparing myself to Noah. He was a great man. I'm just saying. The comparison is very clear, and all those who don't take this seriously are going to be left in a position where they have not prepared. They're going to be left in a position where they're afraid. If you don't know how serious this is about to get, you will be scared. Buckle up. If you are someone that is taking this seriously, if you are someone that notices the real threat right now to power, communications, food supply, everything, and you don't want to depend on the state, then this message is for you. The satellite phone store at sat123.com/Maria right now has special promotions specifically dedicated this month, especially in light of the news that just came out about the global cyber attack. These are military-grade style phones. They have family plans. They have two phones or three phones, 100 minutes or texts, one phone if you want. This is huge savings if you go to sat123.com/Maria this month. They also have other bundles where you can have an encrypted Nokia smartphone, the Bivy device. This thing right here, the Bivy. My goodness. This thing lets you text your loved ones even if there's no cell service. You use it via Bluetooth and it operates via the satellite network from the satellite phone store, which are our partners. They are good people. All of their devices are encrypted. The military use these phones, guys. Please take this seriously, especially take advantage this month of this offer. If you're in the United States, go to heavensharvest.com, use promo code Z3Es for 5% off your order, and get yourself some emergency survival food. Get yourself some water filtration and storage. You can survive very little time without food and water, particularly water. So please go and get this today. If you haven't prepared to operate outside of the system, go to Gold Bullion Australia Group, link in the description below, and prepare for the parallel economy. I'm not telling you this to make sales. Z Media gets $0 commission for every time you go to GBA Group. $0. We do not make a commission. We have a different arrangement with this partner. This is something that people need. I can't say it enough. I have personally done this. I'm telling you this because this will help you not be afraid and not dependent on, you know, the UN coming to save the day when all goes to you know what. It is so important to be prepared. And if you're in Australia, go to survivalsuppliesaustralia.com. Use our link in the description below. Get yourself some food, get yourself some water, get yourself some first aid supplies. I've heard a couple of different people talking about the importance of having a first aid kit right now so that you can treat minor things at home and not have to go to the death camps that are hospitals these days. I've got, perhaps I won't say what I've got on air. I don't want to reveal too much about what I've prepared for at home in terms of first aid. But I've got some pretty significant first aid happening here, let me tell you. The ability to treat some significant injuries. It has to be done. And I got a lot of that from Survival Supplies Australia. People, the warnings that we've been giving for 3 years now, they will come to a head. It's only a matter of time. Please warn those around you that are awake to prepare so that they're not, there would be no greater shame and sad occurrence if all of those people who withstood the injections, who withstood the tyranny, who never backed down, all of a sudden were caught unprepared when a major event happens, and it will, whether it be a UFO, fake UFO invasion, whatever it is, something will happen. We know it. Maybe multiple. It would be very, very sad if after withstanding all of this, you were not prepared and you depended on the system to comfort you in a time of distress. No, thank you. That won't be me. And I hope it won't be you either. Thank you everyone for tuning in today. God bless you. I'll see you all very, very soon next week right here on Uncensored. Share this broadcast everywhere and warn the world of what is coming. No fear, and never let the tyrants rule your mind. Good night.